non-negotiables where you have to be in church and you have to know Jesus. You have to be able to love dogs as well.
There were things that I didn't care as much about because, hey, he's cute.
So they'd have to like want a family or at least want one or two kids.
Honestly, if you're a Dallas Cowboys fan, it's just not gonna work.
No, in all reality, a good question just in looking at this list is, am I this? Do I have good community? Am I invested in a local church? Am I making financial wise decisions? Am I rooted in Christ?
Good morning, Sandals Church. Good morning. Thank you to all those families who are helping grow Sandals Church. Yeah. Man, it's fun to grow your family. It's hard to raise a family. Amen? I had to be really careful what I was going to say there. Hey, we're in a series called Non-Negotiables. It's a series about love. Look, if you're a young person, let me ask you a question. Do you have a list? Do you have a list of what's non-negotiable? Have you ever sat down and said, what am I willing to accept when it comes to love? What am I not willing to accept? What is something that if a guy says this, I go, no, absolutely not. What if guys, and no guys have a list, it's just, she's hot, that's it. And then everything else is a big blur after that. You need to have a list. Listen to me, guys, the devil's beautiful and you might marry her. Same is true for you gals. Look, if you're single, you haven't screwed up yet, you don't have to. If you're divorced, you don't have to do it again. You can learn, right? You can learn. God has a list of non-negotiables. And in this series, it's about finding the love you need. You know what most of our problems is? Is we're looking for the love we want. And we're not looking for the love we need. God knows what you want, and he knows what you need. And he's gonna teach you to look after a kind of love that you need so that you can have the life you want. This is the first non-negotiable in this series. I think everyone's gonna blow your mind. I'm guessing this isn't on anyone's list, but you're wrong. God's right. This is the most important quality when it comes to love. And this needs to be on everybody's list. Write it down. I need a love that can listen. Married people, you ever felt unheard? You ever felt unheard? Come on, ladies, can't just be a guy giving me an amen. You ever felt unheard, ladies? You ever felt ignored? You ever felt missed? You know why that is? We don't teach our men to listen. Ladies, you're not much better, but you are better. We need a love that can listen. Proverbs 31 is a chapter on love. A lot of you women have been told, the Bible's written by men. It's all about men. It's trying to maintain a patriarchal society. Listen, a lot of the Bible is written by men. This chapter is written by a woman. How do you know? She tells us. Listen, my son. Listen, son of my womb. Contrary to current thinking, men don't have wombs. Just women have wombs. Just women give birth to kids. Let me tell you something. Women have a deeper connection with their children because they grow inside them and they are connected to them. When my wife and I go on vacation, day three, she wants to talk to our kids. Listen to me, day three, I forgot. We have kids. She says, do you want to talk to your son? I'm like, no, that's why we're on vacation. She wants to check in. She loves him. She cares for him. She says, listen, my son. Listen, my son. Why does she say it twice? Is any woman in here raising a boy? They don't even hear the first time. Amen, moms? This is how it sounds in the Hebrew. Ma bar. Ma bar. And it's actually, what, son? What? Which means, listen. before I make you listen. Listen, my son. Listen, my son. Son of my womb. Listen, my son. Oh, this is so sweet. The answer to my prayers. Isn't it amazing how mothers love their sons? I have to remind my wife, hey, I'm number one. Hey, hey. They love their boys. Don't spend your strength on women. Why? Women understand women. Listen to me, guys. You got to listen to women because they can sniff out the devil before you can. They know. I don't like her. You're like, why? I just know. Do not spend your strength on women, nor your vigor on those who circle this word, ruin kings. I don't care how talented you are or how talented you think you are or how much your mama loves you, your love life can screw up your life. And it happens all over the world today. People following their hearts invite destruction. I need a love that can listen. We talked about last week, and if you missed last week, go back to it, and I explain these Greek words more thoroughly. But the Greeks had four ideas for love. Many languages and many cultures have different words for love. In English, we got one word. I love you. I love pizza. And sometimes you find out they love pizza more than they loved you. But the Greeks had four words for love, and the first word is eros. Eros is a romantic, sexual love. And here's the problem with eros. You need a love that can listen. Eros doesn't listen to anyone. It is blind, right? You ever heard that? Love is blind. It's also deaf. It doesn't listen. It doesn't listen. It is so powerful. It is so strong. And many people fall in love with a person they find out they don't like. And you say stupid things. We have so much in common. Like what? We like vacation. We like walks on the beach. We like sips of wine. Who doesn't? So do serial killers, right? And we just say stupid things. Love makes you blind when it's eros. It literally lowers your IQ. Whatever it is, it drops. You're just like, I love you. It doesn't listen. It doesn't listen to friends. It doesn't listen to family. It doesn't listen to God. We're in love. We're going to get married. You don't even have a job. We're going to live on love. Okay, that's going to last 8 minutes. Then what are you going to do? Listen, if you're a young person, you can learn nothing from someone who's fallen in love. But you can learn a lot from someone who's stayed in love. You can learn nothing from your friends on Facebook. Find an old couple in our church that can barely walk, but they've been together. That's love. That's love. You see, real love outlasts eros. It does. Last weekend was Valentine's weekend. My grandmother went and met with my grandfather. They don't live together anymore. He doesn't know who she is. He doesn't know who I am. But she went to him on Valentine's Day, and I have a picture of them holding hands. And he's smiling. They've been married 75 years. They know what love is. Eros is long gone, but love is still alive. Love is still alive. Listen to me, young people, that's what you want. That's a love story. Storge love, right? It's powerful, it's strong. It's what the mother has for her son. Listen, my son, listen to my son. Listen, son of my womb, son of my prayers. Storge love listens to parents and family. You got to learn to listen to your family members. You got to learn to listen to your dad. You got to learn to listen to your mom. Listen to me. One of the reasons I'm doing this series is because I have two daughters who are ready to date and get married. And listen to me, guys, I'm concerned, not about them. I'm concerned about you guys. And I told my daughters, You cannot date a guy unless he asks me. You gotta see these guys. I'm like, you're not asking me to marry you. You're just asking to take my daughter out on a date. They're terrified. And I told my daughters, if he can't face me, he can't lead you. And listen to me, ladies. If he is not a husband category, why are you dating him? Why are you wasting your time? Some of you need to dump that chump, amen? I mean, not now in service. There's phileo love. Phileo love is friendship, right? These are your friends. If you start dating somebody and they tell you that you can't have any friends, that's a jealous love. That's a dangerous love. Phileo love listens to friends. Hey, man, I'm concerned. Hey, man, I'm worried. But agape love listens to God. There's a higher love. There's a different love. It's stronger than eros. It lasts longer than storge. And it's deeper than phileo. It listens to God. Here's why listening is a non-negotiable. Love must listen because love is learned. You don't fall in love. You learn how to love. This is why nobody stays in love. This is why we're all fascinated with the bachelor or the bachelorette, which is the worst idea ever. Where they fight about who's here for the right reasons. I'm here for the right reasons. I don't think she's here for the right. I don't think anyone is here for the right reasons. Love must listen because love is learned. Proverbs 26, many claims, underline that, many claim to have unfailing love. But a faithful person who can find? Why do we let Hollywood tell us what love is? They're not good at it. They're not good at it. Tammy and I went to a movie this week. I told her, I said, I'm fairly certain Hollywood hates us. You notice that? They take a beautiful movie. It's wonderful. It could have an incredible ending, and they want you to leave miserable. What's wrong with them? Maybe they don't know about love. The book of Proverbs says, many claim to have an unfailing love. Oh, but a faithful person who can find. You know what that means? True love is faithful. True love lasts. True love goes to a nursing home when your husband doesn't even know who you are. That's true love. The book of Proverbs has 31 chapters. 36 times it mentions love. This is how the book of Proverbs begins. It ended with a mother talking to her son. It begins in chapter 1 with a father talking to his son. It begins this way. Oh, my son, listen to me. Listen to me. Don't hate my correction. Don't forsake your mother's instruction. And it ends in Proverbs 31 with, oh, son, son of my womb, son of my prayers, listen to me. You see, some of you are fooled and you think love is for the young only. Listen to me. It's the old and experienced who know what love is, and that's who you need to listen to. Love must listen because love is learned. And we're told, oh, you'll know when you know. Oh, you'll just fall into love. No, you're gonna fall in a hole. That's what you're gonna fall in. Love must listen because love is learned. Write this down. Love must be taught. You gotta teach people how to love. You gotta show them. You gotta instruct them. That's why it's so important. We just did a family dedication. You need to bring your kids here so we can teach them how to love. And they need to learn how to love from God. Because God is love. And the Bible says this is what love is. It's not that you loved. It's that God loved us and he shared that with us. Love must be taught. Titus 2:4. These older women, and you can pray about it. This is you, ladies. I'm not gonna point it out. But I'm gonna say, if you ask, is that me? It probably is. Like, if you question it, it's you. These older women must train the younger women. Ooh, this is interesting. Older women must train the younger women to love their husbands. And if you question that, ladies, it's because you're single. You will love the guy until you marry him, and then you'll be like, things need to change. The older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. What? You know why? You don't have them. There's a reason God makes children cute, so we don't kill them. Tammy and I went out on a date. No kids. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. No kids. And there's a couple. They met together, and they got their kid, and their child has just learned it has a voice. All through dinner, it's doing this. Ah! Ah! And that's cute twice. And then the third time, you're like, slay the child. Their whole dinner, the kid is like a dolphin screaming. It's summoning whales in the Pacific Ocean. It's horrible. They can't even eat. It's going to shatter glass. Listen to me. If you have children under five, I love you. But you're on the threshold of hell. Every single day is a battle. If you're here at church, praise God, you survived. It's true, isn't it, parents? Every single day, you plead with your children not to try to die. That's their mission every day. I must die today, Father. And parents have to commit together to try to prevent their death. And they're mad at you when you intervene. Right? They try to put their finger in the socket and you say, no, and they're like, oh, you're a terrible parent. And there's part of you that's like, well, try it. These older women must train the younger women to love their husbands. You know what? Love is hard. Love is challenging. I don't even like being with myself all day. Much less another person. You get married and you're like, wow, you're going to be around. I mean, when you have siblings, sometimes you get your own rooms in marriage. That's not true. Tammy and I share a room. She has her closet, and we have mine. I'm always having to make room for her stuff in my closet. The builder should change it. It's not his and hers. It's hers and theirs. The older women must train the younger women to love their husbands and their children. Some of you don't even realize why you go to church. Some of you didn't even want to go to church today, but you're here. Here's why you need to go to church, because you need to learn how to love. And the world won't teach you. The world will not teach you. The world will teach you what you want to hear. They will not teach you what you need to hear. Here's what Paul says to a young pastor named Timothy. He says, the purpose of my instruction, this guy wrote half of the Christian Bible. He wrote half. He's way smarter than you. He's probably the smartest Christian ever. You say, why do you know that, Pastor Matt? Because God asked him to write half the New Testament, and he didn't ask you. He says, the purpose of my instruction, this is the guy who wrote half your Christian Bible. Here's why he's writing. Here's why he writes these letters. Here's why he has these teachings, these sayings. Here's why he wants us to meet, to gather, to be in community group, to worship. Here's the point. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers would be filled. I want you to circle that word. Do you know why you need to be filled? Because you're empty. Every single week you run out of love. Every single week you run out of love for people you swore you would never not love. You run out of love. You run out of love for your husband, your wife, your kids, your family, your friends. Sometimes you run out of love for me. You're like, just wrap it up. The purpose of my instruction is that all believers, that's you, would be filled with love. Not love that comes from Eros. Not love that comes from Storge. Not love that comes from Phileo. But agape love that comes from a pure heart. God is the one person in the universe that never wants to use you. He wants to deliver you. That comes from a pure heart with a clear conscience. You see, God's love doesn't just change your heart, it forgives your sins. Some of you are so heavy, so broken, so overwhelmed with sin, and Jesus is begging you to let him take that away. But God only cleanses what we confess. If you won't share it, Jesus won't heal it. That all believers would be filled with a love that comes from a pure heart, a clear conscience, and a genuine faith. Not everybody that claims to be a Christian is a Christian, even people that are on ChristianMingle.com. The Bible says love is patient and love is kind. That's the first sentence. You know what the first sentence about God's love teaches me? I have a lot to learn. I'm impatient every day. I lose my mind on a regular basis waiting for my wife. She's always concerned I'm going to be late. I said, come on, babe, let's go. Look at the next word. Love is patient and love is kind. Anybody raising children that were just born kind? My kids were born biters. Does anybody have a biter? Tammy and I had to go to preschool. We were called into a meeting at preschool, and here is what they said. If your child continues to bite, we will not allow your child in preschool. My kids were biters. One day after church, I got called into the back into children's ministry. They said, we need to talk to you. I said, what happened? Your son bit someone. Can you imagine you come to church for the first time? You bring your child, you dress them up. They're so cute. You put them in children's ministry. And they're attacked by a dinosaur. And then they ask you, oh, it must have been somebody who came to church for the first time and they hadn't raised their child to be loving. No, no. It was the pastor's son. He brutally attacked our child. I never sat my kids down and said, this is how you bite another child. You see, you don't teach children to be selfish. You don't teach children to be violent. You don't take your kid to the playground and say, now run and shove that girl. They just do it. You don't teach your daughters. This is how you gossip about another girl on Instagram so she cries and never wants to go to school again. But they do it. Love is patient, love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not boastful. Some of you are already out. Strike one, strike two, you're out. It's not proud or rude. Those are the things I'm good at. It doesn't demand its own way. When somebody says, if you love me, you would, we've left the realm of love. It's not irritable. It keeps no record of being wronged. It doesn't rejoice about injustice. It rejoices when the truth wins out. It never gives up. It never loses faith. It's always hopeful. It endures through every circumstance. God says, you have no idea what love is. Next, unloving behavior must be corrected. Listen to me, parents. I know you love your kids, and so you excuse their behavior. I want you to know that God loves you, but he does not excuse your behavior. Unloving behavior must be corrected. Revelation 3:19, I correct and discipline everyone I love. You want to know who says that? That's Jesus Christ. You're like, that's not the Jesus I know, because you don't know Jesus. Jesus Christ said, I correct, I discipline everyone I love. We live in a culture where discipline is not loving. You know what's not loving, not disciplining? It's not. If you love someone, you have to be willing to correct them. You have to be willing to discipline them. Look, this week in small group, in our community group, was one of the hardest groups we've had. You said, we're talking about love. What could go wrong? We were talking about love. Love challenges. Love corrects. Love disciplines. We had to throw down the gauntlet this week in small group and say, look, man, some of you members in the group need to do this now. And it was rough. But that's what love does. Colossians 3:19, husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. Listen to me, dads, if you don't want your kids to be disrespectful to their mom, then why do you? Why do you? Never, ever speak disrespectfully to each other. Remind yourselves. Remind yourselves of how much you love each other. Watch your tone. Watch how you speak. Proverbs 13:4. Those who spare the rod of discipline hate their children. Those who love their children care enough to discipline them. Look, I'm not saying you gotta spank. I'm not saying you gotta have a rod of justice in your house. That's not what I'm saying. Every kid is different. Every child is different. But let me tell you something, parents. I know we have a problem in our church because I take your kids to camp. And some of them, they don't believe the word no actually means anything. Some of your kids hear no and they think it means go. Every kid is different. My oldest, all you had to do was look at her. Madison. She was repentant, broken down. I'm so sorry, Father, I've sinned. My middle daughter, you could look at her all day long. You could yell at her. If you said stop, she would run. Kid had a death wish. I don't know what it was. You talk to her until you blew in the face. I just give up. Come here. Whack right on the bottom. It's like a reset button. I don't know. It was like right here. And she's like, yes, Father, I now understand. And I'm like, why? Why? Why do you have to get the beating? And she's like, I don't know. I just need them. Then we had our son. Right? Boys are different. You know what he did? He punched his mom. Oh, I know. I was like, hoo, hoo, hoo. I said, son, you are not the son of my womb. I literally told him this. I said, we're going to make a memory. I know, and we did. It was good. Now, I don't want to see you on CNN going to jail because you beat your kids. You're like, Pastor Matt Brown said that's the Lord. That's not what I'm saying. That's not what I'm saying. But listen to me. You love your kids, the world won't. You love your kids so you make excuses for the behavior, the world won't. And you need to help them understand that they need to behave in a loving way. And love is patient, love is kind. Love is not rude, Mom. It's not rude. And you need to deal with that. You need to deal with that. I tell my kids all the time, change your tone or I will help you. We got to speak to each other in love. That's what the Bible says. Speak truth to one another in love. Lastly, romantic love. Romantic love must be directed. You can't just follow your heart. You got to give your heart to Jesus and follow his. Romantic love must be directed. We got a mom and a dad, and both of them are concerned in their own way. So the mom says, oh, son of my womb, don't waste your life on women. The dad's like, bro, listen to me, son. Right? Because moms talk one way to kids. Dads talk another way. And you need both. You need both. My son, pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. Why? For the lips of an immoral woman are as sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. Here's what it means, parents. Your little three-year-old, they're going to listen to you to a point. And let me just say, parents raising children under five, you're in hell, but there's this beautiful thing. It's called 6 to 12, and it's wonderful. And it prepares you for not so wonderful. It's called 13. It's an unholy number. I'm kidding. But you got to talk to your kids while they still listen to you, because there's going to be a point where they listen to Eros and they tune you out. My son, listen to me. Pay attention to my wisdom. Listen carefully to my wise counsel. For the lips of an immoral woman are sweet as honey, and her mouth is smoother than oil. And, oh, by the way, so are guys' lips. So are guys' lips. But in the end, she is as bitter poison. Just because you're thirsty doesn't mean you should drink poison. I know you want love. I know you do. Let God teach you how to drink it, or you'll die. In the end, she is as bitter as poison, as dangerous as a double-edged sword. Her feet go down to what? Death. Her steps lead straight to the grave. For she cares nothing about the path to life. We call sandals, Sandals Church, because following Jesus is a journey. We follow his sandals. We follow in his footsteps. We follow in his life. We do not follow the life and in the footsteps of others. You are either on the path of life or you are on the path of death. She staggers down a crooked trail, underline this, and she does not realize it. Not everybody that's going to hell realizes they're on the road to hell. Some people think they're on the road to heaven. Stay away from her. Don't go near the door of her house. If you do, you will lose your honor, lose your merciless. You will lose to merciless people all that you've achieved. Love destroys families. Love destroys careers. Love destroys life if you're not careful. Strangers will consume your wealth, and someone else will enjoy the fruit of your labor. And in the end, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. 3,000 years ago, when the world knew nothing of sexually transmitted diseases, God did. God did. And some of you don't know this, but AIDS still takes more lives in America each year than guns. They just don't advertise it. Do you understand that? In our state, sexually transmitted diseases are at an all-time high. Do you know why? Morality is at an all-time low. And people don't walk around with a, you know, flashing light on their forehead. I have a sexually transmitted disease. That'd be nice. In the end, you will groan in anguish when disease consumes your body. Listen to me. Whether you're gay, straight, or bi, God has a plan for your life that is different than your desires. And we live in a world that said God would never give you erotic feelings, that he did not want you to act on. That is because they've never read the Bible. or they've never read it honestly. We all have erotic desires that if we act on them, that if we follow them, they will ruin our lives. Following Jesus will never ruin your life. It will save your soul and it will bless your life. Some of you guys don't know this, but the man who is accredited with writing these words, his name is Solomon. The Bible says he is the wisest man on earth, and we know he was the stupidest man when it came to women. You see, he had wisdom in some areas, and he was ignorant and foolish in others. It's why his wife at the end says, "Do not ruin your life as some kings do." Because Solomon ruined his life because he followed the desires of Eros rather than the desires of God. Here's what he says. Here's a guy who's had thousands of women, thousands of sexual escapades. Here's what he says to his son. He says, "Drink water from your own well. Share your love only with your wife. Why spill the water of your springs into the streets, having sex with just anyone? You should reserve it for yourselves." He's talking about marriage. "Never share it with a stranger. Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. As you age, you don't look the same." It's true. It's why God blesses us with poor eyesight. You just remember. He says, "Let your wife be a fountain of blessing for you. Rejoice in the wife of your youth. She is a loving deer and a graceful doe. Let her breasts satisfy you always. May you always be captivated by her love." Tammy and I were at a meeting last week, and she was running the meeting, and I was listening. And there were just a couple of moments where I caught her out of the corner of my eye. And I remembered when she caught my eye almost 30 years ago. Here's the truth about marriage. It's a lot of work. It's a lot of challenges. And there's not always time for Eros and romance, but there are moments. And I saw her, and then I watched her, and then I saw it again, and then I saw it again. And after the meeting, we drove home, and I said, "Tonight, babe, while you were talking and while you were running the meeting, I was blown away at how beautiful you are." We've been married 24 years. I watched her sink into her chair and gush. And she said, "You have no idea how much that means to you, to me." She said, "I love hearing that you still think I'm beautiful." And I said, "This is gonna be a good night." Right? The old buck is awakened. Listen to me. This is what God wants for you. God wants you to be committed to someone who is committed to you, no matter what, through good times and bad, for better or worse, until death do you part. You see this ring that I wear? It's a commitment, not just to her, but to God. And I plan on wearing this until death takes me home or death takes her home, because that's what agape love demands. It's what God has for you. Amen. And I know some of you don't believe it's possible. And that's because you don't know God. You don't know God. You have no idea what he has in store for you. If you want to experience this love, you have to make a commitment today to listen. To listen. Jesus was asked, what's the most important commandment? Some of you know it. Does anybody know it? Say it out loud. Love. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That's the Christian version. In Hebrew, it begins with a different word. Listen. It's called the Shema. When Jesus is asked, what's the most important commandment? He recites the Shema. And Shema in Hebrew means listen. Listen. Hear, O Israel. Listen, O Israel. The Lord your God is one, and you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. You see, love begins with listening. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to listen to you. We pray in the mighty name of Jesus, God, right now, that you would heal broken hearts that have been shattered by love, broken by love, and betrayed by love. And I pray right now they would make a commitment to listen to your love, to listen to your commands, and to learn from you. And Lord, for those who are single, I pray that they develop a list, and it starts with this. They will not marry or date anyone who does not listen to you. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Love you, Sandals Church.